Hey gang, welcome to Watch Stuff number 145. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Just enjoying life and trying to stay out of trouble and laughing at all the stories I can't talk about at work due to the nature of my job.
What one would that be?
We will definitely talk about it outside the show. Let's just say it involves fist fights.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, shit.
Allegedly.
Oh, okay.
To put that for disclaimer.
All right. Well, for conversations you can't have at work, let's start with wrestling then. So, we'll just start off with this one. The body issue of Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the magazine, is out now, I believe. Or was it yesterday it came out? And it starred or featured, whatever, the WWE's own Charlotte Flair. And first, can we just put aside that this isn't just softcore porn? I mean, the swimsuit issue for Sports Illustrated gets bagged. And I understand this has guys in it, but still.
I mean, like, would somebody think Prince Fielder porn?
Somebody.
Because he's been in it. It's like kind of like, they're just, I would think that, but it's like, I've never seen porno with somebody doing a naked moonsault.
Well, you can still have artistic pornography. So, you know.
No, I think the way I've always thought, like, this one's different because they're, like, showing athletes, like, being athletic. And, like, the body types have just been so all, like, they show everybody. They've had, like, sumo wrestlers and power lifters and, like, figure skaters. I think it is more kind of like, you know, these are how athletes look. And it's, like, for the longest time, it's kind of been the whole beauty is the eye beholder. But if you don't look a certain way, like, if you don't look like Anna Kournikova, we ain't going to show you. Basically, it's been the thing. And now, like, this, that's why I always like ESPN, the magazine thing. It's kind of like, you know, it doesn't matter what sport you're showing. It still takes a lot to do that sport, so we're just going to show it off. And it shows, like, people you wouldn't see that, like, a woman shot putter in, like, a fitness magazine.
True.
But you'll see in, like, ESPN, the magazine. And the one thing, like, Charlotte, like, one, you find out how much she weighs. Like, you know, they had a list, like, 160 pounds, which makes sense because she's got height. And it's, like, and she's muscular. Like, she's in shape. But no, I was seeing that. And, like, the first thing I was thinking is, like, you know, wow, like, the fact that, like, wrestling's really making it. Like, you know, she's made it. Like, we haven't had wrestlers in there before, like, you know, period. And she's there and had the interview and everything like that. And then the second thing is, like, oh, I'm not looking forward to these comments.
No. Okay. And I was like, come on, man. Are we really going to do this? Let's just get to the part we want to talk about. And that's...
It's called an intro.
Ugh. We don't do that. We don't do all this nice stuff. So, well, I don't. But, yeah, the first thing when I saw those pictures, all right, for those who may not know or maybe shouldn't be brought back up, Charlotte Flair was also part of the Fappening, and she took heat way back then. And that was about a year ago, I believe. So the fact that she's in this magazine, I mean, I'm guessing with creative control, that's got to be a lot better. But she took a lot of garbage back then, too, because of... I'm trying to think of a nice way of saying it, but she clearly had implants that weren't good. Whatever. That's just how it was. But then also, the criticism was she was rail thin. And she was back then. This, though, she looks pretty healthy. And I don't mean that in, like, a sexual way. I mean that in a very complimentary way. Like, she's gotten her act together. Or, I don't know, changed her training. But she looks like a healthier individual. Like, body and mind, if you want to put it that way. But as soon as I saw him, though, I already knew what was happening. And I won't mention where, but I already saw somewhere, before it started getting out, I had already seen on Facebook somewhere that the picture had already been put up, or one of them, and I was just waiting for the comments to roll in. And then I saw it in the group that we hang out in, and I don't remember your exact comment, but it was basically. If you don't look like a Greek god, just shut up.
No, I remember I remember my comment basically like, you know, if you or your spouse or partner is not on point, you're going to catch these slanders. You're going to catch this slander. I'm like, basically, you know, you can't look like you married a foot and you a busted biscuit can talking about Charlotte's ugly. And that's what got me. It's kind of like, you know, beauty's in the eye beholder, yada, yada, yada. You don't have to be attracted to somebody still say like they're attractive. Like, though, people still think this whole thing, like, if I'm not attracted to them, that means they're ugly. Like, no, that's separate. And it's kind of like, you see this, and like we were talking about, like, you see the people who are saying these kind of like they look like God's mistake, and Charlotte looks like a man. I'm like, then what do you look like? Like, it's basically like the stereotypical AVI, like out of shape, slovenly bums, and they're like, oh, Charlotte's this, Charlotte's that. I'm like, do you not have mirrors? That was the thing that stick. Like, you know, do you not know what you look like? Like, is it kind of like that whole, like, wrestling fans, like, have shallow house syndrome with themselves? Like, oh, I look in the mirror and I see Rick Rude. Like, no, like, we see what you look like. You can say Charlotte's not your thing. Fine. You can say, you know, you don't, that's anything like that. But all the people, oh, Charlotte's built like this. Charlotte, like, I wish they had got a real woman. And it's like, if Charlotte had, like, a set of double Ds, people aren't even making these comments. Because I'm like, she's, if any, like, the whole thing you see is, like, Charlotte is one, she's very fit, she's tall, and she has narrow hips. Mm-hmm. The hip thing, and the hip thing throws people off because they see that, like, oh, she like a man. I'm like, no, she don't look like a man. I've seen men. Like, Charlotte's not like no damn man. Like, and this, and not even to come, like, look in the mirror. Look how you look like. Like, think about any woman you've been with. Do they even look anywhere close to the caliber of Charlotte Flair? Like, look over to your wife or girlfriend and take a hard look. And then really say that comment out loud. And they're doing that with no shame. And we're sitting, and I'm sitting here just laughing. Like, these people have no idea how they really look or how they sound.
Yeah. What's also funny is, they're also wrestling fans. I mean, we're gonna pick on wrestling fans since it's the wrestling segment. But they're also the ones that will complain because this guy's too short, this guy's too fat, and they don't get a push, or they don't get used because of the way they look. So there's also a sexist part involved there because I'm just gonna use this guy's name because it fits the example, like a Killian Dane. And yeah, I know he's just now got called up. But like a guy like Killian Dane, who's got all the talent in the world, isn't getting used. But somebody like, just trying to think of somebody like ripped to shreds that doesn't have the same talent. That's the epitome. They would complain because this guy's not getting used. And like, well, it's because of the way he looks. I'm like, well, your attitude kind of lends itself to the mindset of, well, what's for really the former mindset for the WWE management, also known as Vince McMahon. But,
and you know what's hilarious about that? The same people that complain that Vince McMahon has body fetishes, they have the exact same body fetishes. Mm-hmm. Like, they sound like Vince McMahon. I'm like, you know, y'all talk about Vince loading like this, this, and this. At least he can do a goddamn deadlift. Like, what's your excuse? Like, you can't be, like, you look horrible. And you talking about how Charlotte Flair is supposed to look. How should you look? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And it's just laugh when I was seeing that, and I was seeing it over and over again, and I was like, it's not, and it's making fun of wrestling fans, but it's like nerds in general, because it's like, I always remember the same thing. Like, I don't know if you notice it. I remember when, I didn't realize until X-Men Apocalypse came out, nerds cannot stand Olivia Munn.
Yeah, I don't know why, because wasn't she the queen of them?
Yeah, and it was like, maybe I missed it then because I think she was like a tech of the show or something like that. Like, and it was like, she's been around, and I didn't notice it or pay attention until that movie came out. And it's like, oh, they could have hired a trash can. It would have been a better actor than her and probably better looking too. Like, she's not even really Asian. And they just trash. And I'm like, why? And now just think, like, you know, is these toxic guys, like, it's like the whole thing where if you're cute, they love you. If you're super attractive, they can't stand you. Like the whole thing where, quote unquote, AJ was loved till she got super pushed. It was like, oh, I could see myself dating someone like her. I'm like, no, you can't. But that sound all nice. Like, you know, she's cute. She plays video games. She's just like me. Somebody like, and but they see Eve Marie's like, this bitch can't wrestle. She's probably not even a good person and yada, yada. I'm like, you're only saying that because she looks the way she looks. Mm-hmm. That's why. Because you know it ain't a snowball chance in hell. You don't think in your mind she ever talk to you. So you projecting all your nerd angst onto her. And meanwhile, you think this girl that's old, she's cute and like, she married CM Punk. She ain't dating you. Like, I know, because like, yeah, oh, well, she dated Jay Lethal. You ain't Jay Lethal either. You the guy in like the fifth row. Like, just stop thinking because she wears Chuck Taylors that you got a chance. And it just bothers me so much that it's like so many things that we like. You just hear all these loud mouths that just look like the bottom of a damn trash can lid.
And that's what it's, I almost said incestuous, and it's not. It's cannibalistic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, all right, these people are part of the culture that you're part of, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of a, it's like a celebrity nerds are not part of actual nerd culture. But nerd culture is. I don't know how to explain it. But when they see someone that, all right, well, they're infiltrating my culture by doing this, well, you're watching it. Like, if they weren't there, your culture wouldn't exist. But then I think it's gotten to the point where now everyone wants to control. And even wrestling's a prime example. I don't know if you watched that British tournament or not.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it probably today after the show.
Okay, the TakeOver one's really good, but the crowd kind of hijacks the North American championship match. And, like, it's Wolfgang is the good guy. He's done nothing but be a babyface, and the crowd's booing him. And I guess people just like Adam Cole better, but it was still very weird. Because the NXT audiences don't usually do that. But to get back to the point is everyone wants to control everything. I mean,
yeah, you know what it is? It's the voice that used to control stuff back when there was no attention. Now they have the attention and they get mad because other people want to put their voice in too. And it's like, oh, I used to have 100% of pie. If I got 98%, I feel like I got 20%. Like, how dare you say something? And it's like this whole thing where Kevin Smith can be a celebrity nerd and Patton Oswalt can be a quote-unquote celebrity nerd, and it's fine. Michael B. Jordan comes out seeing, like, Dragon Ball Z. They're like, oh, look at this faker. Like, he's not really down. I'm like, you really think Michael B. Jordan needs to pretend to do anything in life to be cool? Like, have you seen him? Have you seen how women react to him? Like, yeah, he doesn't have to pretend to like anime. And it's this whole thing where it's kind of like, if you're too attractive and cool and you like this nerd stuff, they don't think you're authentic. Because it's like this whole self-hate they got walking in. Like, why would somebody like him like this type of stuff? Like, why would Vin Diesel like Dungeons and Dragons? I think it's a film like, yes, he likes Dungeons and Dragons. Every person doesn't have to look like you to like the stuff you like. And they can't wrap their head around it, and they just lose their damn minds.
See, here's the thing with that. I mean, this isn't a defense. It's kind of, but I can kind of get it. Because one, I think people forget that actors weren't exactly the most popular people in school. If you had people in theater in high school, grade school, whatever else, they were kind of like they stuck together, at least in my school. They stuck together. They were always kind of, I don't want to say show-offy, but it was always like you knew who was in the theater group. You knew who was part of like the musicals, all that stuff. It was very, very obvious. And they all looked a certain way. There was no ugly people in there. And then you got the guys who were like the hardcore nerds, like video games. Even when we got to high school, they weren't that cool because it's supposed to be girls and driving. And I know this sounds very 1960-ish, but that's how it was. Not in the 60s, obviously. I was 90s. But you had that group, and they looked a certain way. So now all of a sudden we're supposed to think we're like, you're supposed to think, they're supposed to think, wait a minute, this group of people was doing the same thing I was? Like, I'm not saying they weren't, but I can kind of get it to where it's like,
But why? Here's the thing. Why Vin Diesel didn't always look like that?
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
And it's like Michael B. Jordan when he was on The Wire looks like a, and like on All My Children looks like a regular old teenager that would like stuff like that. It's kind of like, you know, you think it's not like a Superman thing where he's like Superman always looked like Superman. I'm like, Batman was probably an ugly baby when he was 3 months old. I'm like, he's still a human being, and people tend to, they don't remember that. It's kind of like they just see the finished product, think he's always been the cool kid. A lot of them was not cool, and it's like, why would you? It's this whole, and it's not even the whole state's like people brag about being cool. Like, that's not really a thing right now. It's like, it's just established that it's, you know, people into nerd stuff, but a lot of people don't really want to mess with that because nerds are coming off toxic these days, and a lot of stuff. It's like, you ain't gonna claim that if you don't really like it. It's not like maybe the early 2000s were like, oh, you know, Marvel movies, yada yada yada, it's cool to be the nerd thing. It's like now that's the whole quote unquote nerd thing's been a thing long enough where it's just like dominant popular culture, and a lot of them just come off real negative, and it's like, you know, do I really want to be like, it's amazing. Wrestling is probably more popular than it's been in a long time, especially mainstream. And it's kind of like, it's almost respectable. You really want to be grouped in with wrestling fans sometimes?
Oh, no. I mean, well, we talked about it after the WrestleMania show.
Yeah, like, it's just amazing where it's kind of like, you know, they're in ESPN, the magazine, they're in commercials, it's like family-friendly stuff, and you just go online, and it's like, these people sound like damn school shooters. Like, what do you watch? I watch Sports Entertainment. I ain't no internet pro wrestling fan. I like, no, I'd rather be like a house show fan. I just go there, watch the show, and go home. I ain't just got the whole, you know, they not pushing Kevin Owens because Vince doesn't push A positive wrestlers. He only push type O negative. I'm like, what? Like, people just be pulling stuff out the ass, and it sounds insane, and it just, it's tiring. Like, Charlotte Flair is an athlete. She looks like an athlete. And to wrap up the whole thing, remember all the people who used to complain, like, you know, why can't we have real women athletes? They keep pushing the people that's like Kelly and Candace Michelle, like Playboy models, and where's the real athletes? And now you got a real athlete, you see that, and it's like, oh, why can't they get a real woman? It's like, you can't even win. They complain when you had the pretty girls saying they only got the pretty girls, not the ones that can really wrestle. So then they got the ones that look like they can really fight, and it's like, they're not pretty enough.
Well, yeah, well, that goes back to the beginning, a matter of taste or a matter of preference. But before we get off wrestling, real quick, how does a police dog bite a guy coming into the arena? Why do they have... I understand the culture or the climate we live in, but why do they have...
I was about to bring it up.
Why do they have a dog sniffing the wrestlers coming in? And for those who don't know, Shinsuke Nakamura missed SmackDown last night because San Diego police dog?
Or Bakersfield.
Bakersfield, wherever in California, gave a big old snap-a-roo somewhere on Shinsuke, and he missed Tuesday because of it. I mean,
well, you said the political climate is like, people talking about build the wall and no immigrants. It's like the cops don't like none of us. Like, let's think about that story. You go into wrestling and you got a police dog there. It's this Nakamura and bites Nakamura. Like, just think about how insane that sounds. Because I'm like, she was talking about SmackDown, the whole thing about, oh, you know, Jeff Hardy has an open challenge. I'm like, what? When is he going to fight Nakamura on SmackDown for the title? And then the story come out, oh, he's not wrestling. He got bit by a police dog. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. He got what by, like, and imagine if that was, like, before WrestleMania. And, like, Brock Lesnar got bit by a damn dog. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine, or like the Undertaker, like, oh yeah, we got to change the main event. Roman Reigns was coming in, he got bit by a police dog. The police department would get, I would sue the damn bars and stars off that department. Like, you not by time, you like, you are putting my talent at risk because you can't control your animals. Like, what you think gonna happen? Like, you think, well, he Nakamura slinging like China White from the Orient? Like, what are you doing?
That, well, see, this happened to the Michigan football team years ago, going into Columbus. Of course, they actually stopped the team and checked all of their bags for bombs as they're going in the stadium. So I'm sitting here reading this going, all right, I mean, I guess they do that to the guys, but then what you got a bomb-sniffing dog for, or a drug-sniffing dog? And then I started thinking, Jeff Hardy's on the card.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, I mean, I hate it for him, but I just watched that documentary. He's not perfect, and I wonder if it was like some 1950s getcha stuff. It was just such a weird thing to hear. Like, wait, what?
As someone, and it's funny because as someone, like, I work at where we get the quote-unquote random checks, and I always laugh because they'll have the car pull over in, like, the little tent, and they pop your trunk and everything, and I'm just sitting here, they're like, you got any weapons or bombs? And one time I said, like, do I look like I want to blow anything up? Like, look at my car. like seriously, like what are we doing? I'm gonna take a damn almost $50,000 car and blow up a hospital on a weekend where nobody's working.
I suppose they didn't drag you out.
I'm just thinking that sometimes, like, this, you know, this car a month old. Like I said, like, this car's a month old. No, I don't have a bomb in a damn car. We made that joke before in the show, like, you know, poor people blow themselves up, not rich people. It's like, you know, they really think if Nakamura is gonna have anything, it might have, like, you know, the stuff you get a wellness exam, like, he might have like steroids, HGH. He's not gonna have a whole bunch of like coke. Like, what do they think they're gonna, you know, they think, oh well, we got a tip that Shelton Benjamin's slinging at work since he's been back to SmackDown, so we just gonna check out the bags. You think Luke Harper's a drug kingpin? Like, I'm sure this is NXT, I'm sure they're making good money. Like, although, how much of a story would that be? Like, imagine if, like, Randy Orton got busted for, like, slinging keys. Because think about it. If you're a SmackDown wrestler, you're going from town to town. You got a lot of infrastructure. It's like, you know, you stop at this town, you stop at that town, you home for 3 days. It's kind of like, you trust people keep their mouth shut. You can be doing that. Hey, maybe that's what they were doing in the 80s. Who knows?
Well, if you read the old books, that's kind of what they were doing.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, like, you know, I've heard enough about Moolah that I would not be surprised if she's doing more than pimping women.
Or hell, Mae Young as well. Mm-hmm. She ain't no saint either. So
WWE edition.
Ugh. And then I guess we should have gone to this next, but the last wrestling bit that I remember. Have you seen I almost said fake, but have you seen an altercation like this before where Bailey attacking Sasha in a very primal way? That looked like a real, like, years of letting it go.
It looked like Sasha had took Bailey's boyfriends like six times. Like, fight, like, that's something like that's been built for, like, since high school. Because this is funny, like, the match ends, and then all of a sudden, you see Bailey come out of nowhere and just mollywops her from the back. And I'm like, damn. It's like, she look like she pissed. Because one is kind of like, you don't see those women beat down like that, vicious looking. Uh-huh. And then it's Bailey. And it's like, she stays sucker punching. She's just stomping her and punching her. She throws her to the steps, picks her back up, throws her in the steps again. Like, she was not messing around. She was like, you think you better than me? Yada, yada, yada. You ain't shit. And they bleeped it out, and I'm like, damn. And you know the funniest thing? The crowd's cheering for her.
Yes.
Like, the whole damn time, because, like, Sasha deserved it. And that was made hilarious, kind of like, you would think they had it set up in a way for Bailey to be the heel, but Sasha's been such an awful friend the whole time, and the fans have realized that. And it's like, you know what? She had that coming. It's, yep, like, sometimes you just got to take that ass whooping, and she got her ass. Like, Bailey beat her ass. Like, in the ring, out the ring, and it was just kind of like, it had been building up for a while.
A while?
a while, like a long while. And then, like, I know Kevin was making jokes like, you know, they're never going to have anything that's going to keep teasing and forgetting it. Like, it's been building up like at least, what, not even count the NXT, even not count the NXT stuff for, what, a year and a half?
Well, at least in NXT, they were enemies.
Yeah.
This has been back and forth. This was back before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. It started way, it started like last year. Way like what, beginning of last year, where it's like, we are we friends? Can we get along? And then they didn't do anything. Then they got interacted. Then it was like, they had a few where it's like frenemies all through WrestleMania. They still were teasing it, still teasing it, and up to the point where it's thinking like how long are they gonna do this? And then like last week, it's kind of like, you know, Bayley got mad and tried to start a fight, and you know, Sasha basically beat her up more or less, and like she tried to chase out, you know, chasing when she driving in the car. So it was like, okay, well, are they just gonna forget this, what happened? No, they ain't forget this. And it's funny where, you know, they tease a little bit in the match, but you're not thinking anything of it because they've been teasing it for like the longest. But no, that Ruby Riott got the win. As soon as the bell was over, Bayley came out of nowhere. Like, she's like, all right, we're done with this whole wrestling thing. She's gonna catch these damn hands. And she just, it looked vicious. It looked real vicious.
See, that was my favorite part of it, is we didn't even get a chance. Like, there was no, like, forced announcers like, oh, well, what does this mean for Bayley and Sasha's relationship? What does this mean going forward? It was, nope, you asshole, you cost us the match, and that's it. No one saw that coming, which I thought was great. And you're right, it... For those who aren't wrestling fans, if you want to go and check it, it's got to be on YouTube. Literally, the match ends. Everyone's outside the ring except for Ruby Riott and Sasha. It was Ruby Riott that pinned her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ruby rolls out of the ring. Sasha's laying there out of nowhere, just clubbing forearms to the head from behind. Sasha didn't even get a chance to react, and it was just on. And the guys... And yeah, I'm going to put it this way. The guys haven't had that convincing of a fight in a while. And they're the ones that make the most money and apparently draw the most, if you want to put it that way. So that was just crazy to see something like that.
You know, it's hilarious where the last two great, like, pull-up, like, fights have been that one and the whole thing with Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss. Like, it's been the women that's been doing that. Like, I talked to Kevin about the whole thing with, like, I was like, Ronda Rousey's fighting, like, Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. I never saw somebody, like, you know, stop, like, a belt shot with a ducking forward punch like it was Street Fighter 2. I had never seen that before. Like, she was fighting like you would really fight in real life. But a corporate wrestler, like, you know, normally you do, like, the whole takedown and you spare them, everything like that. No, she just sweep one leg. And I'm like, that's so damn simple, but it works. And I'm like, she's fighting her like you would really fight in real life, and adding to like a, you know, it's like when they start doing like jujitsu the movies. It's like, oh, I've never seen an arm bar in like a movie. I guess that would really work, and like it, but have it a way like, oh, that would actually work. And it's like, but this one's kind of like Bayley was fighting her like, you know, I'm tired of you, Sasha. Like, I'm tired of your shit, and And I just laugh. It's kind of like, Kurt Angle's the worst. You got to go to counseling.
Okay, we weren't getting out of here without... Well, you know, Sasha has to go as well.
Yeah, and I'm like, all the stuff that's happened on this show, and Bayley's the one that go to counseling? Like, Braun Strowman tried to almost murder Kevin Owens and damn flipped his car over. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all the stuff that's been going on, you don't want to counsel, you know, Roman Reigns and Lashley. You don't want to, like, what's, it's like, it's the women. And, like, Corbin is, and I just, like, Corbin is just calling them out on this. Like, it wasn't until Corbin got on there, so you realize, like, Kurt Angle's a horrible GM story-wise. Like, he just make the worst decisions consistently.
And there's, well, yes, storyline, yes. And, but that's, okay, and this is going to sound like a wrestling fan, but that's why when you watch NXT or New Japan, it's just simple stuff. We don't have this kind of stuff. And when something goes wrong, there's William Regal out there. Like, what the hell, what are you doing? And, you know, it's always the baby face that comes and says, no, I want revenge or I want this. New Japan, you've always got the other guys out there that break it up. In WWE, you got a goofball GM going, well, I guess I'm going to send you to therapy. Why the hell are you sending me to therapy? What's that going to do? I mean, that should have been the first question.
We're going to talk this out. They've been beefing for about years. It's a little late. Like, y'all could have talked this out a long ass time ago. And now it's like, if I'm Sasha Banks, Bailey just beat my ass. Why am I talking to her? Like, and if I'm Bailey, it's like, I spoke with these hands. I don't got nothing else to say. Like, it's hands on. It's like, bitch, it's hands on sight. Next time I see you, we're going to talk this. Like, although it's like it's women, so of course it's going to be catty. And it's going to be, like, I'm just looking forward to seeing them on Raw. They're on each side. I'm just wondering who the fake psychiatrist is going
to
be.
They have to bring back the
Dr. Shelby.
Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially with the fact that Daniel Bryan and Kane are back together. Like, it would just be a, you know, full circle. Like, bring him back. I mean, why? Like, people will remember. Like, the crowd is smart enough now that people will remember him. Because I'm just thinking it's kind of like, how, I know we were going to talk about it, but like segues to the what we're going to really talk about. How smart is the crowd, like when Kane came out and they're chanting like Team Hell No and Hug It Out and everything. I'm like, that was a while ago when they were a team. And I kind of forgot how over they were as a tag team. I remember people got tired of them to being together. Like, it was like, what is this? And why are they together? And it's like, they treat it as a comedy act. But then I remember it's kind of like, it got Daniel Bryan over like a, in a different way,
right,
more than just like I'm a wrestler guy. It's like it showed his personality off. Like the whole Booker T team with Goldust end up elevating Booker T because it made him look a complete character. Even though when it first started, it seemed like it was just the dumbest thing alive. So yeah, wrestling is just funny. Like WWE was definitely funny Monday and Tuesday.
Yep, and I mean, I guess the last wrestling bit, I mean, you know, I said it was last. I did catch Leo Rush in that 5-minute match against, what was that guy's name?
I don't remember.
Dewey James. Good old Dewey James. So
I remember you posted that and I started laughing.
I'm like, wow. Hey, the hair, the outfit, the physique, everything. I was like, it's 1986. This is great. Yeah, man, that the whole bouncing off the ropes and just stopping and going and changing direction, that was crazy to me. That, I mean, that was, it was fluid.
I'm like, how did he not blow out his entire lower body? It's kind of like, you know how you used to play like Madden on like Genesis, and it's like you could run like basically like, kind of like physics didn't exist, like friction wasn't a thing. If you just ran straight and then wanted to turn right, you didn't have to worry about turning your hips. He just went right, like Pac-Man. That's how Leo Rush moves. It's kind of like physics and friction. Like, he don't give a damn about that. Because he's moving super fast, but it's controlled. And, like, I've seen fast people before. Like, nobody, like, that fast. But it's like, it always looks like they're a second away from just falling apart. It just looks like frenzy. His is like, I'm going exactly where I want to go. And it's just moving so fast. Like, it's deliberate. Like, it's fast, but controlled.
Yeah,
and I've never seen that before. And like, it's awesome him being a heel, cause like, this guy, what, he's like a buck 50, a buck 60, like a dickhead, but he's just so damn good. It's like you can't even touch him. And that frog splash was insane. I'm like,
I'm with you, but here's the thing, and it's a pet peeve. They routinely blow camera angles. That should have been a wide shot so we could see how high he got, and it was a close-up, and it's like, okay, it looks pretty cool. But, I mean, luckily, having watched enough wrestling, you know that was a big-ass frog splash.
Yeah.
But they – I don't – never mind. This is not supposed
to be. And it's funny, like, and of course, Topanga was there, and they, because, like, you know, she's a big fan of his, even before he even signed with WWE. And she was, like, there backstage. And it's like, yeah, like he popped up on NXT. He got in trouble making that joke about what's her face, Emma, when she got fired. And then it's like, you didn't see him. And then it's like, is he going to get fired? What's going to happen? And like, I'm going to be on 205 Live. And like, they just start showing these vignettes and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, I can easily see, like, he's going to be a great heel champion, like, pretty soon on that show. And it's funny where you think 205, like, NXT be better. It's like, no, the size he is, 205 Live is perfect, especially now. It's like 205 Live is actually good, where they just, people just have good matches. Like, that's the whole gimmick now. It's have great man. Like, Buddy Murphy's one of the best wrestlers in WWE. Who would have seen that coming?
Yep.
And he went to 205 Live and just been like Eddie Guerrero ECW era. Like, it's just been amazing. Hideo Tommy was like, and going on there was like the best thing for Mustafa Ali is like a packet, like, you know, a Middle Eastern white meat baby face.
Yeah, well,
in 2018, like, it's just little stuff like that.
Sorry, there's something's going on in the background, guys. I had to fix it. Yeah, no, 205 Live's good, and they're losing some guys too. Not a huge spoiler, but Noam Dar and Jack Gallagher, they're going to be part of NXT in Britain, because they well, at least that's what it looks like. At least with the end of the show, they showed the entire roster for NXT on there. And they're part of it, so I'm guessing they go. Which I don't know. I guess that's good because they're from overseas, I mean, so closer to home.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, that NXT UK is gonna be a thing. They're gonna need bodies, and it's like NXT has enough bodies where they won't miss them that much. So yeah, it's like it's gonna be a whole generation that's people gonna say, wait. It's people that didn't like Triple H. Like, I made that joke, like, it's gonna be people, like, if you're under the age of like 27, you'll have no idea why old people couldn't stand Triple H back in the day. Cause like, Triple H brought all this great wrestling. He wants to work with New Japan. He's helping these young guys and fat guys. It's like, he's the Paul Heyman of my generation. And it's like, yeah, you weren't around when he was doing all that nonsense. Like, you weren't around when he was basically being racist to Booker T. Mm-hmm. And being like, you know, or being a big old homophobe back when he was in DX. So, like, you didn't miss that whole I used to bury people with a shovel era. Like, you just saw the good stuff. And it's just funny how history works. Like, it's the same thing. Like, if you're 25, 26, Michael Jordan ain't nothing special. He's just like, oh, he's DeMar DeRozan without hair. Because you have no, like, you have no context. It's like, okay, he played. Yeah, I heard the name, but like, I was 4 or 5 years old. Or I remember that old guy from the Wizards. Like, so all I know is LeBron James. I'm 24. Who's Stone Cold to me?
Yeah.
Like, really? Oh, the guy that was in that remake of The Longest Yard, which I probably wouldn't have seen because that movie came out 14, 15 years ago. The guy that shows on, like, you know, the country music channel, like rap. Broken Skull Ranch Island, anything like that. It's like, why the hell people getting excited about The Undertaker? Who's this old ass man that's taking 6 minutes to walk to the match? Like, age makes a difference when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, well, yes, and that's also, there's always that generation. I mean, but even like the NBA, it's like people don't know who, like, Jerry West, Oscar Robertson. I mean, there's always that generation. I mean, mm-hmm. Quickly going to skip over Dr. J, for that matter. I mean, Kareem's just this tall guy with bad knees now, unfortunately. And if you look at Shaquille O'Neal, I mean, he hasn't been out that long, but you look at him and you're like, he played basketball?
He was great.
Yeah.
It's like, this big goof. It's like, especially now, it was like centers, if you didn't have a jump shot, you're not even playing the play. Like, this guy couldn't even make free throws, and he's like a Hall of Famer. It's funny thing about, it could be an argument that Shaq wouldn't even be able to play now. Like, the way how basketball's, like, the way basketball's set up, people would, like, think that, like, he still played because people would change the, you know, people would adapt to it. But it's like, yeah, it's like, things, it's funny where time changes, and it's kind of like, you tend to stick to what you liked as a teenager, young adult. It's like, you grow up with that thing. It's like, that's more important. And that's why I stay away from those whole sports arguments, like basketball, football too. Is like, You can't compare Joe Montana to Tom Brady. They're playing two completely different sports. The only thing that's the same is football. Like, the rules are different. The nutrition is different. Everything's different. Like, it's not – it's like comparing a car. Like, yeah, a Lincoln Continental was the cat's ass in 1984. When the last time – like, imagine driving that in 2018, like a big-ass Cadillac. Like, you would just feel like, who's this pimp? Like, you would be wondering, like, why is they driving this old-ass, long-ass car and you can't find a parking spot? And it's like, that was to catch me out back then. And now it's a different time, different era.
Cool. That's what happens when you hit the mute button. So
again, yeah, I was about to text you. Like, did you hit mute, dummy?
I'm sitting still. So unless there's a short in this thing, which is entirely possible. But did you end up going to see Jurassic World? I never asked you.
Yes, I did see it. I saw it Saturday when my wife's family decided to just show up as a surprise visit Friday. Imagine finding my wife calls me Friday afternoon. Oh, I just found out from my mom that my brother, his wife, their two twins, and granddaughter are just going to show up, and they're going to stay with us for the weekend. I got to go run and get some air mattresses and make sure we got enough space for all of them because it's a surprise visit. They just want to see my mom. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. Yeah, so the eight of us went to see Jurassic. We saw Jurassic World on Saturday.
I was wondering why there were so many people going with you. And
yeah,
okay, so what did you think?
Okay,
and can you separate having eight people ruining your experience from the movie?
No, it didn't really. It's funny where it was a different experience because I'm used to going to movies like two people or maybe three at the most. Like, going with a group is like, this is shit expensive. Like, it's like, it can add the hell up. And it's like, seeing is, you know, the whole thing is like, let's get there 15. I'm like, it's eight of us and three are old and two of them are young, and it's Jurassic World, it's first weekend, we all gotta find seats and then we all gotta get food. That's gonna be an adventure. And it's like, it was an adventure, but it worked out. It's funny because I remember I asked you about it, you didn't talk about it, and then I watched it, and I'm like, my wife probably felt the same way you felt because she was like, this is just boring. I'm like, this movie's okay, but I thought it was fine, but it was a real dumb movie.
Okay.
I'm like, this movie is just like stupid.
Yes.
Like, I was laughing for the whole thing, and I'm like, one, the director's better than Colin Trevorrow. Like, I don't blame him. I liked how it was things I liked about it, but I wasn't the whole thing where I love Jurassic Park like that anyway. And it was like, it's always seemed kind of all the ones beside the first one always seemed kind of silly to me. This one just seemed like a whole, like, this was just, we make fun of people doing stupid stuff in movies. Yeah, everybody was just dumb as hell in this movie.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
And so I'm thinking, especially at the end, I'm like, yeah.
There was no one dumb in this movie. I mean, the guy tearing dinosaur teeth out, okay, gets in the cage. Well, of course he's going to do that.
How did the movie theater react? I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, my God.
How did your theater react when that scene happened?
Well, here's the thing. My audience was very not exactly vocal, but you could tell people were getting restless in there. There was a lot of shifting around and like sighs. And there was one point, I can't remember, it was one of the scenes where the dinosaurs are in cages and people are sneaking around, that I just put my head back and just I tried to be quiet. I was like, ugh. And the lady next to me goes, I know. And I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. But when he got in the cage, the lady next to me just went, ugh. But the lady next to her was like, why are you going in that cage? And I'm like, yeah, exactly. Why? It just, but the rest of the crowd, it was just kind of a groan. And when he gets eaten, someone started cheering, but it was one person. And it was like, that guy wasn't even that much of a badass to, like, care about.
Yeah, no, when that happened, I heard somebody say, are you fucking kidding me? And it was like, and people were just like, people was like, kind of just like groaning and laughing. It was like, kind of like, you know, you see a horror movies like, white lady don't go in that room. Yeah. We're watching, it's like, what is wrong with him? And it was kind of like, you heard people saying like, what? And they just started laughing like, this is, and then it's like, you know, the dinosaur pretending they sleep. And that's when I just started laughing like, this is some Looney Tunes shit now. Like, he's playing with his damn food. I'm like, he deserves to get eaten. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking, like, when that happened, I'm like, he deserved, because one, and I was thinking the whole, like, these people are just so damn dumb. All of them. The whole, the story's dumb. Yep. The actions were dumb. It's like, okay, if you worried about, you want to clone these, you want to make dinosaurs, just make new dinosaurs. Why are you saving the old ones? Do that. Let's, you know, don't worry about, you got to find this lady that hopes she finds her ex-boyfriend because you want to find this raft on this island that's about to have a goddamn volcanic eruption. And then you got to lie hot about it and you're going to get these dinosaurs and you're going to take them to a house. And then you're going to bring a whole bunch of people to bid on them the same day you got all these dinosaurs then in a house. And then it's like, we're selling this for $10 million. That's it? $10 million?
Hey, you're not leaving, you're not leaving me much to complain about, by the way, because you're taking all the shit I was going to say.
I mean, like, Paul Newman's old watch might go for $15 million. You got a damn Triceratops, and it's $11 million?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's some mansions in New York that cost more than that. It's a dinosaur. That's all a dinosaur costs? I'm like, and these people, like, we're going to weaponize it. And they, how many times are you going to keep doing this? And this whole thing, you remember this dangerous dinosaur we made that basically shut down the park and put this company out of business? Well, we're going to make it worse. We're going to take that and make it more dangerous. And it, like, it's laser guided like it's a Tomahawk missile. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. I'm sitting here like, what the hell am I? Like, these people are so goddamn dumb.
Well, so the thing, here's the thing. So, it started off pretty wonky. It started, I will say this. It started off pretty cool. When they were downstairs, when they were underwater getting a bone, and they keep teasing the shark or the megalodon. I'm guessing that's what that was. They never really said.
Yeah.
They kept teasing the megalodon and teasing it and teasing it. And you're like, here it comes. And they go through that whole thing, and I'm like, all right, that was pretty cool to start with. And they, you know, the gate's still open, so it gets out in the ocean. You're like, oh, here it comes. And then the rest of it is a big fart noise.
Mm-hmm.
I told Kevin he hasn't seen Solo yet. He hasn't seen Jurassic World, and with all the stuff with his houses and all that, he's pretty busy. So he's like, yeah, we want to see Solo, and we want to catch that. I was like, go see Solo. And if for as much bad press as Solo got, that was a far superior movie to this one. I know they're totally different.
Yeah.
Way superior, far superior to this.
Yeah. And, I mean, the whole, it was just dumb.
Yeah.
And let's talk about something. Everybody's talking about the whole dinosaur thing. Can we not talk about the whole fact that they cloned a human?
No. We're going to get to that. Don't worry about that.
No. We need to get to that now because I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, isn't that not a big damn deal?
No, it was like, just a plot point for no fucking reason.
Oh, well, it's a reason why Hammond and such aren't friends anymore. It's like, oh, you know, he missed his daughter, so he just made a new one. And it just kept on moving. What?
Yep.
Y'all made a human? Like, fuck a dinosaur. Like,
yeah. Well, no, it mattered because they were going to let the dinosaurs go. And she goes, they're a life like me.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you know what? Boom, throw her over the side and go have fun with your friends, jackass.
And I was like, this is a bad idea. Because first I thought, you know, what's her face? Bryce Dallas Howard is going to do it because, like, you know, she loves these dinosaurs so much. And it's like she's about to do something stupid because the whole thing's like they deserve to live. And it's funny how Jeff Goldblum was like, no, they don't.
I was with him. So
I was with him too. It's like, you know, and it's like, okay, no, we're not going to risk it and everything like that. So I'm just going to watch him get gassed to death. It's like, you know, we got to save humanity because it's like these crazy, these damn dinosaurs just roping up and about on the mainland. It's not a good move, even though they sold some that kind of escaped anyway, but that's neither here nor there. And then all of a sudden the door opened. It's like, oh, that little damn clone girl did it. Oh, they're in life just like me. And I'm sitting here like, white people going to be the death of us. It's always some little white girl that's just doing something damn stupid. Oh, I know this Tyrannosaurus Rex doesn't have any natural predators, and some of these dinosaurs are apparently bulletproof, but we just gonna let them out because it's like, oh, well, you know, they can't die because it's like, and I'm sitting here like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. And I know why we did it, because the whole thing, like, we got to preserve life, but it's like, these people were here before us, and if we're not around, they're gonna be here after. Like, Ian Malcolm was the only one that had common sense because he'd been around. It's like, men have been shown that they don't know how to deal with technology well. And every time we try to dick around, it's funny where if it's the Terminator, aliens, anything dealing with like alien technology or genetics or like something we shouldn't touch with, it always ends badly. And people still don't learn. Like, oh, it'll be different this time. Like, yeah, we're going to train the dinosaur to listen to people. But not this one that's not ready yet. We're going to sell him. And it's funny. Like, it's a prototype. It ain't ready. It's a reason why we need to make a new one, like $30 million or $30 million. What, you broke?
Yeah. Well, here's
this
here's
big
the thing.
Ass company.
You kind of blew that whole thing up, though, because as soon as you go, because you know all these dinosaurs are going to get killed off, and I will give them credit for this. When the Brontosaurus or Brachiosaurus, what was the tall with the long neck?
Brachiosaurus.
Yeah. When that dies, that was pretty rough. Because that was the first that was the first one you saw in Jurassic Park, and you saw how gentle they were and all this. I was like, "Oh, that sucks." But then, as we're talking, folks, four or five animals just died out in the wilderness. So, you know, that's how life works. But right then, they've got was that B.D. Wong?
Mm-hmm.
I understand they want to weaponize all these, but they already have an island for that. Well, at least he said they did, which I guess could be part of, you know, probably not. But all they have to do is go round these dinosaurs up if they want to, throw them on that island, and leave them there. They die, they die. I mean, it didn't. And then if not, they can just make some more, because when they sold the prototype, he turns to him and goes, "You can just make some more. Who cares? Why are we watching movie?"
It's like, well, these people need dinosaurs now, and they're like waiting for you to make it. So I can see the whole thing about selling those. I'm like, this company's supposed to be this whole big time. He's in the house that damn big, and they're like fiddling over $20-30 million. I'm like, yeah. Imagine the whole thing. Like, Apple was trying, like, no, Disney was trying to buy Fox, and they put their deal in, and Comcast increased theirs. This is like, okay, well, we'll just throw $16 billion more because it's like, we got it. Imagine like, nah, well, we would buy it, but y'all not going to throw the fridge in, so I'm going to have to pass.
Kevin actually hit me up. Like, yeah, as another example for that, Kevin hit me up the other day, upset at like one of the HGTV shows. It was Beachfront Bargain, and the guy said it was a deal breaker that the bedroom had carpet. Right along those lines. Yeah. You know what I'm so annoyed with this movie is? I love the first one. I'm Jurassic World, not Jurassic Park. I love that one too. This was such an utter disappointment that maybe that's on me, but there's so much wrong. Like, the whole cloning of the human, I expected that to have a much bigger part.
I think a lot of people did.
And it seemed like there were scenes cut out. Because the guy smothers poor James Cromwell to death, mm-hmm. kicks the nanny out in the middle of the night, and, wait, what? Like, what's going on here? And then he gets his in the end. Like, okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know why? It's just like, the more I talk about the more I get upset, because it was parts that were real good. Like, the way they shot the movie was awesome. like the guy, like whoever the director was named J.A. Bayona. I never heard him before. He's got like an eye for talent. Like when they wanted to make stuff, I think like beginning when the computer guy's trying to open up the gate or close the gate, like that, and you see the dinosaur in like the background, and you don't see him, and you see him getting close. I'm like, that's awesome shooting. Like it looked awesome. Like it looked like this guy about to die. You have no idea, and he don't even know it yet. And the way they shot it was kind of like almost like a horror movie, but not like kook, not like, you know, cheap and like not like he knew how to direct. They just gave him a horrible ass story, and that's what bothered me the most about it. Like, you know, it's you can only do so much with a bad script. And it's like he got hamstrung by the script. Like he tried to do the best he could, everything in the situation. But it was like, you know, it says a lot that Chris Pratt was in this movie. And if you ask people what his name in the movie is, most people wouldn't even know it.
I don't know.
And Jurassic World made a whole Owen something. I don't even know what his last name is. Yeah. And I don't know how I remember his first name. It's kind of like, you know, they had, cause like, I liked the dinosaur doctor. Because, like, you know, she was a badass, smartass.
Okay, see, here's the thing. This was another part that really hurt. I hated her. One, her character's just ridiculously overqualified for nothing. I know how to do a dinosaur transplant. Fuck you learned that from? You were on a computer.
I mean, you know, I will say this. Dinosaurs, in that universe, dinosaurs have been around long enough where that would be a thing.
I guess.
Like, you know, because it's like Jurassic Park happened.
Oh, that's true.
And it was like, you know, and it's like Jurassic World, like they've been open. Like the whole thing in Jurassic World was, it's been so successful, people got bored of dinosaurs. It's like, it's not a thing anymore. That's why we got to make new ones, because like people are used to it. So that part didn't bother me. But we'll go on.
So the other part I really didn't like, and this is how you know this movie was written by a man. She was overly aggressive and flat out rude to everybody. And that was supposed to make her look strong. There's a difference between being strong and just being an asshole. And that's all she was. She was an asshole to everybody. And that's honestly where you can see a man wrote that character. And that, to me, that gives credence to the whole thing about, hey, you should have a woman's voice in these things.
Yeah. You know what's even worse? It would have came off even more horrible had they not cut out the part that she's gay in the movie.
Because then it would have been like, oh,
yeah, because it's like, it was a scene where she was in there and they cut it out. And it's like, part of me, you know, the whole, I'm like, yeah, that probably wouldn't have came off any worse. Like, okay, she should be a strong, damn, evil bitch. She must not even like men. Like, we don't even need, can we, like, kill that, like, can we kill that stereotype? Because, like, it's been a thing. I liked her. That kid
didn't like him either.
Drove me the one that has scared everything. Oh, I'm gonna get allergies. There's the raptor coming. It's a T-Rex coming. I'm having a panic attack. And it's like every black character is either like, you know, the badass, the comic relief, or the coward.
See, and I like even he's see
just
it that
so
way.
Oh my god, I want to die. And it was just so like his race wouldn't have, like, no matter what race it had been, it annoyed me anyway. But like that extra part just said, like, I'm just like, it wasn't a big deal, that part, but that stereotype over there, he just got on my nerves.
Yeah,
like he's
also totally useless. Now I understand that they needed somebody from the island's handprint, all right, so they got to get Bryce Dallas Howard there, or probably Owen. Well, I don't even know her name, to be honest, so you got to get them there. But you're trying to tell me this crack team of guys that have been on this island, that have got all this money, financial backing, all this, couldn't get a fucking computer hacker to go in there and set the system back up?
We needed her handprint, because like, she's the only person that had access.
Well, no, her, yes.
It's funny with his
handprint. No, I'm talking about the black kid. He's the computer hacker that does it. Are you trying to tell me you don't have someone in IT that can do the same thing? Like, there was nothing special.
Time was an issue.
Oh, okay.
It was this whole thing. It's like time was an issue, like, because you know this island's about to blow up, so we got to do this now. But I'm like, okay, nobody noticed all these people there before. Like,
yeah,
they get there, and
next.
It's a whole group of like private army just snatching dinosaurs. Nobody noticed that. It's just, or we just happen to see, oh, it's this big ass tugboat with a Tyrannosaurus. It just happened to sneak up. Like, you could just park the Titanic on the Pacific Ocean, nobody would not notice it. Like, I don't give a damn how big, I don't give a damn how big California is. Somebody with a cell phone would notice a big ass boat where if it wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And would put it on YouTube.
Not in this world. Maybe we're getting into nitpicky stuff. I mean, in all seriousness, maybe we're getting too nitpicky now. But really, because the first one had... All right, when I say the first one, I'm talking about Jurassic World. The first one had a lot of stupid things in it, but it was so much fun, you could overlook it. Because it was a dinosaur movie. This one was trying to be... supposed to like have its political leanings, because you caught that the auctioneer guy was supposed to be like a Trump analog, like when his hair blew to the side, all that stuff.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention. Yeah. I don't know. He was just like some old rich dickhead. Like, we're just here to make money, yada yada yada.
There you go.
And let's get. I ain't got time for this. Let's get this done. Yeah. And I'm like, cause I gotta sell this Triceratops for $6 million. I'm like, that seems, I still can't not wrap my head around, like, that still seems kind of cheap for a damn dinosaur.
Yeah, I was expecting the totals to be $500 million for each one. You know, like, just something that's going to break your bank. Not, the one that butts its head, we'll do $10 million for that one. Like, what? Anyways, it's just utterly disappointing, dude. And I was really... How do you fuck up a movie about dinosaurs? Where people are on an island with dinosaurs. You know how you do it? You kill all of them, except for 10 of them, and then you put those 10 in a cage the rest of the movie.
In a house.
Okay,
we gotta do this. We gotta run around in the dark to hide from this super smart dinosaur. And then somebody turn the lights on. It's like, we got to save the other ones because the chlorine gas is going to blow up. Like, what is this? Metal Gear sound?
And my
like,
thing is,
it's just, like...
why is that gas there?
And then it's kind of like, I still can't wrap my head around the whole thing. It's like, they did all this at a house.
Mm-hmm.
A house. I know it's a big house. I know it's like, they got this lab on there. Like, you have all these dangerous dinosaurs, and you just brought them to this one house. And you're just going to sell them that same day. You didn't even check them for diseases and everything. Check to make sure they cover. Oh, well, you know, the Syrian warlord, he ain't going to wait till tomorrow. Why not? He can't wait. He can't wait 2 days to buy them Triceratops. It ain't like you can go to eBay and get one. It's kind of like you selling dinosaurs. And the whole thing, that guy is like, we're on a timeline. They ain't waiting for you. You not? Where you getting a damn dinosaur from? I got a dinosaur. You just can't order a dinosaur. You can't go to, like, you know, Home Depot and get one. I got one. Nobody else have one. If you're gonna wait for me, you waiting. This whole, we gotta do this now and everything like that. Like, it's, yeah, I'm like, this movie doesn't make any sense. People do not like whoever wrote that script, and like, it's a reason why Colin Trevorrow probably got kicked off of that last Star Wars movie. Like, I could see why. And he's supposed to be directing the next one. It's like,
yeah.
Maybe you should rethink that, because it's kind of like some people don't deserve the chances they get, and it's like I haven't seen anything from him that's like he's like, yeah, because he wrote this movie, and it's like the directing was fine, the story was just stupid. It didn't make, and it's like they, it didn't make any sense. It seemed like it was a movie where they cut out a lot of stuff.
Yes,
and it still felt too long.
Alright, so it's a thumbs down here, which kills me, but whatever. What else we have? Oh, you sent me over the link for, is it The Predator? Is that the full name? And I understand it's a Red Band trailer, but man, that should have been the first one. Because I'm one of them, so I'll admit it, you got so focused on the kid in that first trailer, like, why is there a kid in this? And this one is all action, and you get the big bad. You get, well, swearing, but whatever. Whew! That had me going. I'm going to see this one. So that's what, September, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got 2 months basically. And I was impressed.
And it's funny, it was the third trailer. And you would think people learned a lesson, it's hard when you have bad trailers beginning, because even if you have a great one, it's like first impressions are first impressions for a reason.
Yep.
And it's hard to get people, because they're like, this is it. And then the second one's like, it's a little better. It's like a lot of people kind of tuned out. It's like, yeah, I know it's Wichita. I know some Shane Black and everything like that, but I don't know about this. This don't seem right. And then they bust this one out, and it's kind of like, you can have that in a way, and I know it's a Red Band, even though sometimes they show Red Band trailers in movie theaters anyway for R-rated movies. I'm like, you could have waited and did this one first, and people would have looked at the movie a lot differently than they were before, because I'm like, yeah, this was like a Predator movie.
Yes.
Not a kiddie Predator movie, because it's kind of like, if you watched the first trailer, you would never think it was an R-rated movie at all.
No. It was really trying to give you a Stranger Things vibe.
Yeah.
At least the beginning of it.
And it's just because the whole thing is like, it just didn't seem like it fit the vibe. This one, you're going to see violence, you're going to see blood, you're going to see soldiers doing soldier stuff. And then, of course, the end, a big predator beating up a little one. It's like, yes, sign me up. And you know what I like? It didn't make the people seem dumb. Like, when they, because I always laughed apart when they interviewing the guy, you think you saw some strange stuff, and he's like, yeah, you mean like a fucking alien? we know what the deal is. Are you guys, we might think you might be dangerous. We're military assassins. That's the point. it's kind of like, what are we, why are we wasting time? Yes, we are killers. We saw a damn alien. Y'all know we saw it. Why are we wasting time like this? It's almost like the same thing. They're talking to the crowd like, we know why you're here. Get to it.
Yep, and they did. That might be a theater one now. It's going to be two different movies, obviously. Two different times. Predator's one of those franchises that's been so goofy. The first one, every time it's on my TV. I've never gotten tired of watching it. I can tell you right now, I've only seen the second one two times.
Shame on you.
That's at least 15 years ago. I don't remember a damn thing about it, other than Bill Paxton gets killed.
Shame on you. Because you know what's funny about those two movies? They're completely different movies, and I love both of them for different reasons. Because one, people may not be fabulous now. It was a time where Danny Glover was a credible action star.
Yeah.
In the 80s, and he running around with a six pack and a badass with a dress shirt on. It's like, yes, Danny Glover with a receding hairline was a badass back in the day, and he's a badass in this, because it's funny, the first one, Arnold's running and hiding and trying to cheat the win. The second one, Danny Glover is taking it to him. He's hunting the damn predator. He's running out there with he got a metal plate on his dress shirt, he got a shotgun. He chops his hand off, chase him through apartment buildings. And it's like, it's almost kind of like it flips the whole thing, because, it's in a city, so it's not the whole jungle thing. It's happening to a war. It's funny, it's supposed to be in the future, 1998, and it looks like now. And it's this whole war zone where Jamaicans and Colombians having this drug war. It's 109 degrees during a heat wave and all this stuff. Everybody on the subway in Los Angeles got a gun, it's RoboCop. And no, you should definitely. And Gary Busey is at the height of his Gary Busey being insane thing. It's it went from Gary Busey being a regular actor to Gary Busey being how you think of Gary Busey now.
Okay, I do remember the end. The predator was going to mow the one lady down, and it turns out she was pregnant, so he let her go.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that part too. But yeah, it was one I never went back to. And then we got all the Alien vs. Predators, which, whatever. So.
And then the other one with Adrian Brody.
Predators, yes.
Yeah, and him whispering it like that, and him just being a total asshole the entire movie. I just laugh because it's rare we see a movie where the protagonist is just a prick. Mm-hmm. And he's just a dickhead. I'm like, are we sure we should be rooting for him? Because he come off I don't give a damn about none of these people or anything like that. Like, we ain't playing this old Boy Scout shit. Like, you know, you guys do what you want. I'm doing what I'm going to do. Take the ship, whatever. And then he barely warms up. Like, he warms up a little bit because he saves, like, the girl that's in Queen of the South at the end. But beyond that, he's a dick, and he's in super shape because he's running around like a 12-pack. I'm like, Hollywood, them Hollywood trainers and those drugs, like, I need that fitness. Hey, ain't no wellness policy, so what? Like, they're not playing in the NBA. They're not playing basketball or the NFL, so who cares what they're using to get what they need to get to? And it's got to be tough. Like, you know, we need you to look like a superhero in 3 months. And I know you never done a push-up in your life, so this is what we're going to do.
I'm trying to figure out who else was it. Walton Goggins was in that.
He was in it. Lawrence Fishburne was in there for like 15, 20 minutes, like whispering, anything like that, playing like a madman. The guy that was in House of Cards and Luke Cage season 1, he's in there. Marshall Ali, he's in there. Danny Trejo's in there. The UFC fight, was it Oleg Taktarov? He's in there.
I don't remember him being in that thing.
He's the dude with the Gatling gun, like from Russia.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like it's a lot of people in there, and it's kind of like, you know, they're there, and it's kind of like Predator once ever done a different island. I always laugh. It's like, you know, they trying to figure out what's going on. It's like, where are you trying to go? I'm trying to find out who dropped me out of a fucking airplane. And then they show up, and it's like, imagine you just walk around the jungle with all these people you never met before, and then you get to the horizon and you see like 4 planets. Because that's what happens. Like, oh, well, what are we going to do now? It's like, okay, I see 2 moons and a planet with a ring on it. Now, I know I didn't go to geography class, but I know it's like the Earth normally has a moon. Like, imagine you look out the window and you saw Saturn and Jupiter. It'd be weirded out. So yeah. So Predators was in a weird franchise where it's like basically been a B franchise that's people try to like make it bigger than what it is because it's goofy anyway. So needless to say, we're looking forward to seeing this one finally.
I think that was all we had, wasn't it? Shinsuke, Leo, Bailey, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all I had written down.
Yeah, or we can. Oh. We got enough time for one more thing. The last thing I sent you.
Oh, yeah. So Jared Leto apparently is going to be. Oops, I lost the link. Is it Morbius? Right.
Mobius, the living vampire.
I was going with Mobius first and changed it. Mobius, the living vampire. Yeah. So. I don't know. Like we brought up before, I thought that was like a Blade villain, but I'm wondering, is Blade part of Spider-Man?
No.
Okay, no, I was just curious on that one. Yeah, I don't know where Blade debuted. I'm curious about that now.
No, he came up like separate. Like, it's funny, when they did the movie, Blade wasn't even a big deal in the comics.
No.
When they did the movie, like, it was like a separate character that just popped up here and there, and anything like that. No, I saw that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, Sony, what are you doing?
He was in, like, imagine Dracula, 1973.
Yeah. Imagine if somebody, like, if DC did a movie Batman universe but didn't have Batman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the part I left out of this, gang, is this is going to be part of the Venom universe. Which is why I mentioned Spider-Man. So I'm lost on. Yeah, well, it's like you said.
I want
with
money.
Venom. What's the point?
Money.
Yeah.
Money. We like. I know we made good money sharing Spider-Man with Marvel, but I don't like sharing, so I'm going to do this anyway to prove I can do it, even though if you could do it, you wouldn't have shared Spider-Man in the first place. If you could do it, you'd have done it. Nobody asked for this. Like, I'm tired of seeing Jared Leto. No! No! Like, And I made a joke with my friend Jeff. It's like, what he gonna do? He gonna watch interviews with the vampire and a vampire chronicle? Is he gonna be biting people in real life to figure out how to be a vampire? Like, no. I don't want to see his goofy method acting ass in a comic movie. Like, him being Narco Joker was enough.
Yeah.
I don't. And why? Okay. How would you sell this? The whole vampire thing is done. Like, that whole phase, like Twilight, that's done. Vampire Chronicles is done. Like, that whole vampire cool thing, that's over. Who's heard of Mobius? People barely heard about Blade. And that was back when, you know, comics hadn't come out yet. But at least, like, you know, it's Wesley Snipes and it's cool.
Yeah. This is Jared Leto.
Yeah, like, Jared Leto ain't cool. Mobius ain't cool. It's a torturous, like, at least the Joker's the Joker. But even then, it's like, it didn't make any sense. But, like, at least people heard of the Joker. Who the hell heard of Mobius? Like, and the people who heard of him, why would they trust, like, the people who know the character, why would they trust Sony to make a good movie? They know exactly why Sony's doing this. Like, you know what? Don't insult my... One thing nerds that they do not like is when you insult the intelligence, because they pride themselves on being smart. They want to be catered to, but they don't want to be pandered to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's... I don't know, man. This is a tough sell anyways. And now... I got two thoughts collide there. Well, one... They got to make sure Venom makes its money first before you're going to pop out a Mobius the Living Vampire movie. I mean, you can eat your cost for getting a script together, but if Venom, which, have you talked to anybody who's been excited about Venom?
No, we've all cracked jokes.
And I mean, like, now you don't have to be excited, but you have to be like, oh, okay.
At least with, like, Venom, it's kind of like, people have heard of the character, even though it's kind of like, it's like Gambit. It's one of those things where it was cool in the 90s. It seemed just weird in 2018. It's one of those, like, dated characters. But Tom Hardy has goodwill.
Yeah.
So even if you necessarily not want to see the movie, you might see it because, like, you're a Tom Hardy fan. Like, people like Tom Hardy. People don't like Jared Leto. They think he's a douchebag. Mm-hmm. They think he's a tryhard. And it's like, the last time you remember him was him crapping all over the Joker. Like, and we've talked about that too. And Blade Runner, like, even in Blade Runner, I haven't seen it yet, but it's like, every time I see him now, I always think he's trying too hard. Like, he's just, it's almost kind of like a worse version of James Franco, where it's like, I know he's talented, but he's doing too much. Like, Christian Bale works hard, but it never looks like he's just like a tryhard. He just cares about his job. Yeah. Jared Leto's like a, he's just like, I wish I was Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, no. Daniel Day-Lewis can pretend to be, he can make shoes for 3 months if he wants to be a cobbler, because, like, he only makes movies every, like, it's kind of like this part of saying, like, I'm gonna be the movie about a boxer, so I'm gonna learn to box and I'm gonna eat, like, Frankie Beans like Joe Louis did. Like, whatever. If it makes you work, it works. And he only does movies, like, once every 4 or 5 years anyway, and he's extremely good at it. Jared Leto ain't that good. So it sucks when it's, like, somebody that tries to... Like, Kobe Bryant's main problem was he thought he was Michael Jordan, and he wasn't Michael Jordan. That's Jared Leto's thing. Is like, he's not as good as he thinks he is, so that all that work just seems like a pain in the... Like, get out my face. Like, act. Go act. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, well, we're going to see. We're going to see how he reacts as a supernatural, as a scientist who turns himself into a vampire.
Well,
man, the 70s must have been awesome.
Yeah, a whole bunch. You know, first he's going to go to school because he's going to try to get, like, an associate's degree and, like, a science topic. And then he's going to move somewhere where it's, like, you know, a lot of homeless people and just bite them. Like, I want to see, like, you know, I'm going to terrorize people to see how this, like, I got a monster, the vampire, so I'm going to become a hemophiliac. I'm just going to be biting bums, and I'm going to do that. They're like, oh, Jared Leto, he's just, you know how much he cares about the job? He caught hepatitis. He just wanted to get in the role so much. He was biting people, and I'm just going to roll my eyes. Like, who asked for this? Sony.
See, the thing to is, make a... I can't remember what actor said it, but it's like, it's called acting.
I think Laurence Olivier.
It was like, somebody, you don't actually go do it.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And it's like some people, like, training for a role is different. Like, you know, Tom Cruise learned how to shoot a gun so he can be better at it, or Keanu Reeves doing that is one thing. And I get the whole people getting a role, like, you know, I want to play a cast taxi driver, so I drive around a cab for a few days. I want to learn how to be a high school student, so I roll in school for like a day or two. Tom Holland didn't go in college for like 3 months and like have himself get bit by a spider to become Spider-Man. He enrolled in school for a little bit to see how it was. It worked, because I still swear he's like 14 or 15. He's not a grown, he actually a grown ass man, but he don't look like it. That's why it works. Like, he's great at his job. And it's funny where now he's one of those, and we talked about it, when he talks in his English accent, it's weird.
Yep.
Like, I always like, that's not him. I saw him as Spider-Man. He sounded normal. It's like, no, dummy, that's called acting. And it's like, it's funny because Benedict Cumberbatch, when he does his American accent, you can tell he's doing an American accent like that, because that, I don't know what that is. That don't sound American. It sounds like somebody that's, it sounds like Alan Rickman in Die Hard when he was pretending to be American, when John McClane stuck up on him, like, yeah,
yep,
it just sounds off. But no, it's like, yeah, you act. Jared Leto is not, he's just doing all this extra stuff. And it's like, it's just a money grab. It's even worse money grab than Venom. Because how many people know who Mobius is? Like, imagine come, we're going to do a movie about Rhino. Yeah, like,
yeah. Well, I mean, the only reason for that is, my God, that was supposed to be the next Spider-Man movie. It was him versus Sinister Six before they gave up. So,
but not this is Sinister Six. We're just gonna do a movie, and it's gonna be Rhino.
Yeah,
like, Marvel can get away with that with like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange because they built enough goodwill up. But even, it's way more people heard of Ant-Man than Mobius. There ain't a lot of people who heard of Ant-Man, but it's kind of like Marvel has that goodwill. Sony doesn't have that goodwill. Like, stick to making PlayStation and Rock and Kevin Hart movies. Do that. Make it $1 billion with the Jumanji sequel. Make the PlayStation 5 and keep trouncing Microsoft. Stop making these trash-ass Spider-Man movies with no Spider-Man. Like, that is not the wave. Don't. And it's like, who you think will come watch this? Like, seriously, like, how are you gonna sell this movie to people? It's like, okay, we got this comic character that nobody heard of, about vampires that nobody cares about anymore, with an actor that's not this big box office draw, and we gonna make a movie, and it's gonna be related to this other movie that people are always kind of like skeptical on, cause reasons, cause we're so damn petty that we're mad that Marvel is doing a Spider-Man movie better than us, and instead of just enjoying making the money that Marvel's making us, we're gonna be petty and show that we can do it, even though we obviously can't do it, because it's like, that's, yeah, we need to get to Hollywood. It's all these dickheads that have these jobs that are not qualified. We need to get our foot in the door, because like, how hard, I'm like, people talk about it like it's hard, like, is it really that hard? I just saw Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. We could have wrote that script. Like, I mean, that somebody paid good money for that dumbass script, and it's kind of like, you're white, so you can get a foot in the door, and we can be a team, and it's like, all we need to do is get our foot in the door. Like, it, I know it's like, it's easier said than done. Acting might be hard. That shit that we've been seeing with some of these movies does not look that damn hard. I'm like, we're both smart. We can write. I could have pulled that out of my ass and like, a week. Let's make some money, Jeremy.
That ship sailed. We're too old. Remember?
And never. Yeah. Alan Rickman didn't get his start till his 40s.
That's it's true. Never, he was really talented, too, which probably helped. And English. Oh, no, was he German?
You can fake it. Your last name is May.
I can barely. Are you out of your mind? I can barely speak the English language with an English accent or whatever this is supposed to be. My God.
Grow out your beard and throw some fake accent on these dumbass Hollywood execs. Oh, he's this auteur from such and such. I heard he did some. You know, I heard he was a writer on like Saw. You can lie. Make it. All you got to do is like look like. What's his face? The dude that did The Room, Tommy Wiseau. Where the hell did he come from?
Yeah, you fail upwards. So
yes, fake it. All you gotta do is pretend that you know what you're doing, and if you do that, enough people might actually believe that you know what you're doing. Like, get good on the job, get your foot in there, fake it, and then we can learn.
Well, folks, if we're not on next week, you know what? You know why. So, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening. You can follow us, StunkRant, on all social media. Look for us, or we watch stuff for all your podcast listening devices. And I'll let you take us out, man.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Duhati. And just let you know, why have talent when you can fake it? We are out.